Lines on the Game.
All the game.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is Winner's Bias, America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Until proven otherwise.
A show about board games and trying to convince your friends that your boxes are more fun to play with than theirs. I'm one of your hosts, Nate, and with me is my buddy James. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing all right. Nate, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I was looking at the thing you wrote here about the boxes, and it took me forever to realize you just meant a box of games, like the box that came in.
Yeah, the box that the game
is within.
I was
like, what game comes with just boxes are you playing with? Just little boxes you just tick. Like,
I mean, yeah, you just like you stack them. You know, there's all sorts of things you can do with boxes. Do you have no imagination, James?
We've been through this before, so many episodes. No.
No imagination. I mean, fair. You've never shown it to me, so I should stop asking.
You're embarrassing me in front of the listeners.
As a reminder, you can comment on our show live using the OLARC messaging system of KBOO.fm. Just click on the chat with us button in the lower right corner of the window. So today, we are
being grouchy today.
Sort of a companion piece, unintentionally, to our drafting favorite things about board gaming. Oh, yeah. Although we're not drafting today. And maybe it's a little too close to doing that to be doing this. But you know what? When you have an idea that's just prickling at the top of your brain, you got to get it out there. But James and I are peeved. And we're going to discuss some of our gaming peeves with you today. And hopefully we'll not be too down and dour and sour. And
I mean, it's winter. It's the time to be down and dour.
It is.
And it's also the time you don't want to listen to other people being down and dour. But, you know.
But maybe we can do it in a bright, sunshiny way.
Yeah. I will say, I don't feel like I've been playing board games enough to have specific peeves that aren't just, I don't like this kind of game, which I don't think is a peeve. So most of mine, not all of mine, are actually about video games.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because that's what I know.
We're talking games.
Yeah,
we're
games.
Talking games. You know what? You can, you know, it's winner's bias. It's just all about games.
It's all about winning and biases on those wins.
Do you want me to start or do you want to start?
Yeah, no, you go for it. You go for it, man.
So my first peeve, and this is actually the thing that made me really want to talk about it because it drives me absolutely nuts. It is when people say, that's not a game. That's an activity. And it's so demeaning to the people who enjoy the game that they are playing. Basically, what they are trying to say is, what you're doing is not something that's like you can win at. Something that it's not a game. It's just something you're doing to fill time. And so, there's all sorts of discussion in the board game community about what a game is, and I pulled up a definition here, and it's a form of play or sport, especially a competitive one, played according to rules and decided by skill, strength, or luck. A lot of people would say that it has to have a winner, you have to be in competition, and so then, like, I would posit, then what's a cooperative game? You can win together and lose together against the game. Does it count if the winner is not another participant in the game? What happens if you tie? If there are ties allowed in the game, does that mean it wasn't actually a game because there was no winner? Like, why are we being so nitpicky about game versus activity? And I've got news for you, James. I've got news for you. Games are activities. They're not mutually exclusive. It is all something that you're just doing, and it drives me crazy. Just let people call what they're doing a game, even if it's cooperative, even if no one cares about who wins. When I play games, I don't care if I win. That's just not why I play games. I play to win, but that's not why I play games. Winning is secondary to me, maybe even tertiary, but like it gets my ire up.
It gets your peeve up. I mean, if you stuck by that, then there's so many video games out there where you don't win. You just carry on doing the same. Like the cozy games, like the ones my wife play, where it's kind of like just farming. There's no end to it. There's no winning. You're just playing it for fun, and that's still a game.
That's an activity, James.
It's a game.
It is a game. It is a game. It's just something you do for fun. It's like the world of activity is broad.
Do people say that about certain games or just games in general when they say that?
Usually it's lighter games, it's cooperative games, it's party games, it's stuff like that where, you know, Telestrations would be a good example where, you know, there you can play with points and whatnot, but the real fun is going around and having someone, you draw the picture, and then the person writes what they see, and then you pass it to the next person, and they draw what that person thought they saw, and so you're just going word, picture, and just seeing how it morphed. You know, it's telephone, but with pictures, telestrations.
Oh, that makes sense.
People would... They're pretty clever over there. Yeah. And so that's the sort of thing that people would say, oh, it's not really a game, it's an activity. They just, you know, threw some point scoring on there, but nobody's playing it to play the game. And it's like, no, they're playing the game. You're just being a little bit of a snooty person. So anyway, game versus activity. That's the big one. That one, like, come on. Let's not try to gatekeep people because they're not playing the right games. And
I like that peeve. That's a peeve that is a suitable peeve.
Yeah.
I think for my first peeve, I'm going to piggyback on your whole co-op thing. Is the co-op games, since online gaming became a thing, that you can get co-op games, but they only do online co-op. They don't do couch co-op. Where couch co-op is where you play the game, you and whoever you're playing with can play on the same console on the same TV together. That is a rare thing they do now. So if I want to play a game with my daughter, we will have to have different consoles or different TVs playing separate rooms. You can't just sit and play the same game anymore, and that peeves me off. I want to play the game with my kid or my friends in the same room having fun like that.
It drives me bananas that you have to buy multiple copies,
yes,
of games to play them like in the same house.
It is. It's the worst. I was like, make every co-op game couch co-op. It can't be that hard to put that in there.
No, it absolutely... I mean, it's just code at this point. Yeah. You don't even need a disc for it. So
just cut the screen in half. One on one half, the other on the other.
Yeah. Turns out we had this technology back when they were doing GoldenEye,
yeah,
on N64. We can certainly still do this today.
Just keep it a small part of it. Don't cut it out. Just keep it in there.
Yeah. No, I agree. That is very frustrating. And especially since... my youngest has been wanting to buy Among Us for his tablet, which we already had it for a different tablet, and we have to rebuy it. We already bought it. Just let me transfer the... There might be a way to do
that.
I might just be younger. It is, but it's related.
It is a peeve.
Shall we do a shout-out to your class?
Are they talking right now?
Yeah, they just commented. Shout-out to James' class. At Atkinson, thanks for listening.
Yeah, we actually got people listening. We've got 17 people listening right now. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love it. Ask all the questions you want. Some of them just ask so many questions, and this is your time to throw them in.
All right. You ready for my next beef?
Go for it.
See, got to keep track of the time because I'm going to get all wound up on my peeves.
We've done two, and we're going to go
through Voices of Vision next. And it's like, sorry, but I've got you potted down. You're never going to come on. We're on the rest of the day.
Hell yeah.
My next peeve is, I don't mind analysis paralysis too much because I play games with the people who I like playing with. I like being around. So, we're going to hang around each other a little bit longer. That's fine. I don't mind that. What I do mind is people who have analysis paralysis and they complain about how long a game takes. And it's like, you are in control of this.
You're the reason it's taking a long time.
You are the reason that it's taking a long time. If this game, if we are all taking 30 seconds for our turn and you're taking 2 minutes for your turn, well, every turn you take is a minute and a half more game that we're going to be around for. So I don't mind if you take a while, but don't complain about it. Because we are responsible for the pace of the game. We don't have to do the perfect turn. In fact, sometimes that makes the game more interesting when you just have to do something because you can't figure out the perfect
it's
turn.
It's what your hands you're dealt with. You just have to do something.
You just got to do something. Sometimes you just got to do something. Don't spend forever working something out and being like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to do the first thing that I thought of.
Also, if you have analysis paralysis, which can make the game take a long time, too long for you, maybe not play that game. You can find out how long a game can play if you don't have AP. Maybe don't do that.
I don't want to go that far. Again, I want to keep things open for people. People who take a while should still be able to play the games that they want to play with.
Just not if they're going to complain how long it goes on for.
That's the thing. It's not don't play the game. Don't complain about how long the game is. Have some self-awareness and they're like, oh, I have a hand in this.
Maybe I'm just grumpier than you then.
Probably. You are British. I have no idea. Are British people more grumpy?
We get told that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, cool. Go ahead, bud.
All right, my next one is games or sections in games that have a time limit. That part of the game or the whole game stresses me out. As we mentioned before, I'm a collector. I love to collect things in the game. And if you add a certain time limit to where I have to, if I'm looking for stuff and I have to collect that or do something in a certain time limit, that's too much stress for me. I don't want to deal with that. That ruins that whole part of the game. I don't pick up games or play games like Pikmin, which the whole point of Pikmin is it's a time limit. You have a certain amount of days to do this. I can't handle that. It pees me off, especially when if it's not a whole game, this is a normal game that I play and they shovel that bit into a section. I don't want that stress.
I would have thought Pikmin would have been a game that you could take your time with. You just walk around, I'm going to pick this up, I'm going to pick that up, I'm going to pick that up.
No, you have to pick all that stuff up in a certain amount of days. And I don't want that.
How do you feel, I don't know if you've played any board games that have time limits.
I don't think I have. I mean, you would know. You've made me play the board games. All board games have a time limit at some point.
Meeple Circus has a time limit where you're building your little circus within the time frame of a song, and so you're like scrambling to, it's usually dexterity games that do that.
I did enjoy that, but that's okay because I'm not running around trying to collect things and making sure I'm doing it all in a time limit. The whole point, it's not the same. I don't mind it in board games, I guess, in that way.
You want to be able to investigate a world, and in board games there's not really a world to investigate.
I want to be sucked into a world and not be like, you have to be sucked out in a few minutes, you gotta go run quick.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. My next one is...
I've also noticed that the two peeves that you've chosen are actually about people playing games.
Well, this is more about people.
Yeah.
When people make best of lists and they leave off light or, quote, filler games from their list because they don't feel...
Because they're activities.
They don't feel, they don't feel that they qualify as real games to be included on their best games of all time list. That drives me crazy. And again, it's elitist. You know what? Nana is in my top 10 games and it deserves to be there because it is one of the greatest games that exists. And it doesn't matter that you can play it in 5 to 10 minutes for each round. And it doesn't matter that all the rules you need to know fit on the front and back of a playing card.
I mean, those are the types of games that help bring people into the hobby. You don't want to exclude those games saying, oh, actually, you didn't actually play a game right there. That's not allowed.
Yeah, and I think the mindset behind the people who leave the smaller games off their list is that they want to highlight these bigger, heavier games that they play. And so if you have, 10 trick takers on your list, well, that's 10 games that you don't get to talk about when you're talking about your top games. But I just think it's a disservice to people because games contain multitudes and you shouldn't write something off just because it doesn't fit within this, like, oh, but, you know, it got to be real intense and thinky and last 2+ hours and everything. It's like, let's give them all their due.
It's only fair.
You know, I just want, my peeves are all about how egalitarian I am and how open I am,
Big word right there.
I'm so noble over here.
We got kids listening, you're using big words. I don't even know what that is. We gonna go for another one, you wanna reset?
Oh yeah, let's do a reset. You are listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate, here with James, and this is Winner's Bias, a show about the board gaming hobby. We're keeping things bright and sunny in the bleak midwinter by talking about things that annoy us in gaming. Oh, you like that, James?
I did like that. This is what we talked about at the beginning. I didn't know you put that in.
Oh, yeah, I didn't share it with you ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, I could just look over our sheet, but I chose not to.
Yeah, well, why would you?
Yeah.
And continuing on, it just says, still peeved.
Still peeved.
So let's go.
All right, my next one is when you're playing a game and you're against a boss. And the whole thing about this boss, their big thing is they produce minions or smaller enemies to attack you while you're trying to attack the boss. That's not a big special thing about the boss. That's just making it complicated. So instead of having fun defeating the big boss, I now have a big boss and 10 small things I have to keep my eye on. That's annoying. Make the boss more interesting with their own thing and not just keep producing smaller people for me to fight. I don't want that.
But isn't that kind of a thing that they do? Isn't that like...
Not all bosses do that, but it'd be like a boss where the whole thing is like, oh, I've made 5 new enemies. Well, not even enemies, the same enemies you fought before, but now you have to do it while fighting a big boss. I don't make it interesting where this boss has its own special move that you have to figure out and find out a way how to defeat it. Not just, I have to fight it while fighting other things.
I guess I struggle to find the distinction there, because I'm like, isn't that what the special thing the boss does? Is it just makes more minions?
That's not special. That's just the game.
That's just the game?
The areas in the game does that. You go to an area, and that area has minions. So I don't want to go to an area where the whole thing is like, oh,
now, the boss. Now, this is showing my video game experience, because I'm just picturing Bowser shooting fireballs. But if the boss is shooting fireballs at you, how is that different than because a bunch of minions?
The shooting fireballs is like, you have to dodge. You have to use your skill of dodging and then get to it like that. This is just fighting the same thing you fought the rest of the game.
Can you not kill the boss until all the minions are dead?
Usually you can defeat the boss before the minions. The minions are just something there to annoy you.
Yeah.
To
distract do they die you. With the minions?
Sometimes.
Or do the minions die with the boss?
Sometimes. I like it when that happens because it's just a big finisher. It's annoying when you defeat the big boss and then it's a peeve when you defeat the big boss and then you have to take the small things out that don't take as long.
Yeah, I guess I struggle to find the distinction between them being just little projectiles that can fight you.
Because projectiles, you're dodging projectiles.
You dodge people. You dodge minions.
My next peeve is you. Okay? You counteracting everything I say.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. Like, you can be peeved at whatever.
Yes, I can.
And, like, I can see being annoyed with that type of boss. But, you know, it just seems like it's a...
Make a boss where I have to use one of my abilities to defeat it. Yeah. Not just use the same thing I've done over and over again.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair, James. You can attack my next peeve.
I will.
So my next peeve is about expansions, not about people.
Ooh.
So I guess I'll do that one next. So there's this trend in board game expansions, which expansions are like, you've bought the base game and now they're like, yeah, but you want more content? Here is our expansion for it. And it's cool. Some expansions are great. Some of them are not. But what I hate is expansions that are like, here's 6 or 7 different modules. Sorry, folks. Didn't mean to. 6 or 7 different modules. And you have to choose which ones you're going to include in the game. Like, just make the expansion to be what you want added to the game. I don't want to have to make choices and find the combinations of, like, well, which way is the best way to play this game? If I just add this one module there, that'll make the game the way I want it. Or do I have to add these 3 modules? And then it's going to be the game as it is meant to be played. I want the designer to design the game that they want me to play. I don't want to have this, like, a la carte, now I'm going to mix in this thing and this thing. It's like, just give me an expansion that's either everything you want me to add or nothing, because I'm not going to buy that expansion.
So you don't want to be given a choice about how you think a game could be better. You want to just be told how it'd be better. So maybe some people are out there being like, oh, this expansion I kind of like, but I don't want this part of the expansion. I want to just include this one. And that's the thing they like.
I think that is 100% true, but I don't want to pay for like 5 parts of an expansion that I'm never going to use, just to use the 2 parts, because the more stuff that's in it, the more money it's going to cost.
Are you saying all these expansions are in one? Or are you saying...
Yeah, it's one box. Okay. It's one box with like 5 modules, 6 modules, and then you're just like, well, why don't you mix in this one? Why don't you mix in this one and just see how it all works? And I find that it makes me not want to play them. And I say this with one of my favorite board games, Food Chain Magnate. That expansion is very much like this, and I do have a little bit of an issue with it.
I mean, that makes sense now you put it like that. I thought you meant like buying a separate bunch.
No, if I could buy them all individually and they were all like $5 to $10 each, yeah, sure, I'll pick and choose the ones I want. But as it stands, nah, I don't have time for it.
I'm gonna jump on that with you call it expansions for video games, it's called DLC. When DLCs come out, some of them are great. But when the DLC comes out, like, maybe a month after the game comes out. And it's like, why did you not just include that into the game? Why are you trying to sneak in more money by making us buy this when it should have just been part of the game? If you made it that quick, it was made to be part of the game. And now you're just trying to just put it out for that extra bit. It's like people have put it with like a, when you go to like a fast food place and you buy a burger and like you buy a combo, but you're not allowed to buy have the combo yet. And then it's like, well, here's a drink. Now you have to have the drink. And now here's the fries. You have to buy the fries separate. It's like, no, give me it all at once. I bought the combo. I bought the game. Give it to me all at once.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, there's board games that have expansions that quote unquote fix the game because there was like a huge thing. And it's like, if there was this huge issue with the game, Did you not notice it during playtesting? And granted, once it's out in the world, it's being played by so many more people. But it's like, just make the game full the first time. You know, just do it.
And like that peeve isn't actually on my list. You just brought that peeve back to me. I was like, wait a minute. This is something that peeved me off. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. See, I'm here. I'm giving.
James. Yeah, this is why you're here.
Giving. Another of my peeves is also related to sort of the way games are designed. I don't really like variable player powers. I don't like games that have every player have a different power at the start of the game. Like in Barrage, which is what my second favorite game of all time. You start out, you have the different countries that have a different power you can unlock, and then you have your executive officers, and they have their own power, and they sort of can help dictate what you do in the game. And I think that's fine. I don't like being told what I should be doing in a game. I just want to be able to make my decision. So if I have someone who's really good at building stuff, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm building stuff this game.
But isn't that like you said, like Cosmic Encounter, they all have special powers.
But
or that Magical Athlete, they all have special things.
Yeah, and but that's like, that's the game. The game is the interaction of those things. Oh, okay. Whereas the other things, like, you can play the game without the player powers. And yeah, Voyages of Marco Polo is the same way, which you won. We all had different powers in Voyages of Marco Polo as well. And I like those games, but so many games are like variable player powers, as if it's just like, oh, this game will be endlessly replayable. And all it really does is unbalance the game. Some powers are just better than others. And so you have to make sure the best players don't get the strongest powers or else. And there are times when it's nice when you're playing with a new person, you can give them a stronger power and that can sort of help balance things.
That's what you did with me. But then that kind of dampens my win because now it's like, well, you had the strongest power.
Look, I'm just glad you brought it up instead of me. But it's just, your game should be able to stand up on its own. And most of them can. And I just don't love this constant throwing of like, okay, well, we're going to give these people these powers. And I know it makes, I understand why they do it. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary for me. I just don't need it.
It makes your game worse, you're saying.
Kind of. I do kind of wonder if Barrage would be better if we were all playing on the same playing field. I haven't tried it because I'm such of a force of habit type person to just play it without player powers. But also the boards in Barrage, the player boards, have different things that you unlock and you get different income. So there are certain boards that are stronger than others too. And there are ways that you can mitigate this sort of stuff, like Terra Mystica, Gaia Project. You can do basically an auction for the player's powers. And what you do is you auction like points or resources or whatever, and you start a little bit weaker because you get the stronger factions. And that's kind of interesting. But I just don't care about player powers that much, you know? I just want to play.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in Barrage, it didn't have the player powers to begin with, and then they were like, well, this game is kind of boring. Let's add something to spice it up.
Well, one of those designers is the designer of Voyages of Marco Polo, and a designer of Sulcan, the Mayan calendar, which is awesome. But the expansion for that is all variable player powers.
So that's their thing.
A lot of their games do feature the variable player power thing.
No. Right. My next one. So imagine you're in a game and you have an NPC, a friendly person you're with, and they're telling a story or telling you your next mission. And you have to walk around with them. They're telling you the story. But as you're walking, their walking speed is slower than your walking speed. So you're always going faster than them, and then you have to wait for them to catch up, then you're going faster than them and waiting for them to catch up, and it just slows down the game and makes it annoying, and it's just a peeve of mine. It's like, make the speed match the main character's speed. Maybe even better, if I want to run, make the NPC run with me. And so we're just at the same speed, so I'm not having to stop, go, stop, go, stop, go. I don't like it. I don't want it.
Well, or you could do it like, do you remember Sonic 2 when they introduced Tails?
Yeah.
And you could just leave Tails in the dust, but then Tails would just come helicoptering in and just join you later when he could.
But I think if you're playing, because that game had co-op, you could have a friend play Tails, couch co-op, great idea. I think if you're playing Tails, someone else, I think they are the same speed as you as well. No?
No, they can get left behind in the dust too. Yeah. So you can you can mess with the person who's playing with you, because you can just be like, oh, you want to play, huh? Zoom!
I mean, it's fun when you're messing with your friend, but it's not fun when the computer is messing with me. I don't want that.
Yeah, no, in the computer thing, like, it doesn't make any sense that some random uncontrolled thing should be keeping you...
You're just dawdling around, looking at the sights, and it's like, no, keep up with me.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I'm going to try to get one more in. Is that okay?
Yeah, I fit a small one in. You fit a small one in.
This one's actually a big one, but I'm not going to spend too much time on it.
I will.
I really don't like when people say, I don't like games. Or, I don't like learning games.
Back to complaining about people, I think.
Yeah. It's just like, people have the capacity, and you do, and it's like, fine if you don't want to play a game. But, like, most people who say that, I find, are people who haven't really tried.
They haven't found the game.
And, yeah, well, it's... They haven't found the game. They haven't, tried learning, like, new games. They're just kind of used to the games we all grow up with. There are people who I know are, like, big poker players. And, like, hey, I've got games that'll tickle that itch for you. And, like, nah. It's like... and it's like, you know what? I'm trying to include you in this big social thing and have fun with you, and not everyone wants to do that, and that's fine. I don't push people too hard. But I also think you would love this, and you would have a great time, and you would get to hang out with a bunch of people, and why not?
At least give it a go.
At least give it a go.
And then say no afterwards.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's always good to try things once. You never know. But we're going to have to wrap this up here right now. So thank you for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org, and you can find us on Instagram at winnersbias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. We want to remind you that KBU is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. Just go to kbu.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you peeve off your friends with the games you make them play. Have a good one. Game.